over the years. But oh, the other sure, thing yeah. is, yeah, so as I say, the cooked carrots, when I was younger, sometimes on a Sunday, my mum would decide.
Oh, do you know what? It's got to talk over you in a second, Jay, but it's been so lovely to talk to you. No cooked carrots, yes to raw carrots. I'm on that side of things.
The voice of the UK. And the home of the Premier League. This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
We're the BBC News at 2 o'clock. This is Jason Kay. The lawyers representing some of the women who've accused Mohamed Al-Fayed, the former Harrods owner, of rape and sexual assault, have laid out shocking details of the case. At a news conference, they described how Mr. Al-Fayed, who died last year, had set up a system in which young women were recruited. Dean Armstrong, KC, is one of the barristers representing the alleged victims.
Mohamed Al-Fayed was a monster. He was a monster. But he was a monster enabled by a system that pervaded Harrods. I have many years of practice, and I have never seen a case as horrific as this.
The United Nations has strongly criticised the detonation of handheld communication devices used by Hezbollah members in Lebanon this week, saying the attack could constitute a war crime. The UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk told a meeting of the Security Council he was appalled by the attacks, which have been blamed on Israel. The Israeli envoy at the UN didn't comment on the operation. The US Secret Service has published an interim report of what it said were security failures surrounding the attempted assassination of Donald Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania in July. The review identified poor planning and a communication breakdown in the minutes before the attack, which killed an audience member. The agency's acting director, Ronald Rowe, had this to say.
After reviewing the planning, event details, and coordination with partner agencies regarding the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump on July 13th, our mission assurance review is nearing its completion. As I've said, this was a failure on the part of the United States Secret Service. It's important that we use the lessons learned to make sure that we do not have another failure like this again.
Sir Keir Starmer travels to Liverpool today to attend Labour's first conference in government for 15 years. Some of the union movement are pushing for a motion to be debated which would call for cuts to winter fuel payments to be reversed. A court in Washington has convicted one of Mexico's most notorious cartel leaders of drug trafficking and firearms offences. Ruben Osigueira González, known as El Menchito, was one of the leaders of the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, our America's regional editor Leonardo Rocha reports.
El Menchito was arrested in northern Mexico in 2015, but continued to lead the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, an extremely violent organization, until his extradition 4 years ago. He's the son of the cartel's founder, El Mencho. The U.S. Department of Justice said El Menchito pioneered the manufacturing of fentanyl in Mexico to help build his father's cartel in one of the world's most powerful drug syndicates.
It's been confirmed that a tornado hit part of Aldershot in Hampshire yesterday. Debris flew around in gardens and tiles were ripped from roofs. That's the BBC News at 3 minutes past two.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of sport. It's Anthony Joshua versus Daniel Dubois for the IBF World Heavyweight title.
Anthony Joshua with a stunning statement here.
Let's go. What have we got to lose?
Two hard-hitting British heavyweights go head-to-head at Wembley Stadium.
Hear full ringside commentary
tonight from 10 p.m.
on 5 Live and BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
Lisa McCormick.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for your company. Thanks for your calls, your texts on everything we're talking about. I'm Lisa McCormick, of course, with you right through the night here on 5 Live. And we're on BBC Local Radio, Radio Scotland, Radio Ulster and Radio Wales as well. Of course, this programme is all about your calls, so get in touch. 0808 5 909 693. Ollie and Harry are taking your calls tonight. They're lovely. So, and don't just say that lightly. I wouldn't say that about everybody that takes your call. I would. I absolutely would. But they are, so get in touch with us. 0808 5 909 693. Now, the Labour Party conference gets underway in Labour later, which should be a celebration of the success of the general election. You know, first time back into power for 14 years with a majority of 147, but it has in some ways been a little bit overshadowed by headlines in the recent days. So if you could hear one thing from this conference, what is it? Give Keir a steer on the programme this morning. Edward in Derbyshire has had plenty of advice for him.
Scrap HS2 and stop wasting a pile of money. Give it to the health service, give it to the fire service, give it to the police, and help the poor of this country. Don't rate for rich, put up rate for poor, and store energy in containers so that when it's cheap, you can buy it, and then we can give it ourselves instead of paying E.ON, EDF, and Scottish Spanish Power a load of money, because they don't charge their customers anything like what we charge ours. And if you're going to have a GB energy, make it produce energy.
So that's what Edward would say if he was in the room at the Labour Party conference this weekend. What advice would you give the Prime Minister? What do you want to hear this weekend from the government? 0808 5 909 693. Also, after a study found that fussy eating was down to genetics, we've been talking about the food that you couldn't stand as a child and the stuff you still refuse to eat. Zoe in Northampton had a problem with carrots, but only in some specific circumstances.
Oh, I like raw carrot, but I don't like cooked carrot.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
I think, yeah. Yeah, and so like I started doing always when I do vegetables, let the kids have a snack on the raw vegetables. Oh. And you know, like when you do broccoli, you know the big thick stem.
Yes.
If you peel that and slice the stem is so sweet.
Yeah, we do that sometimes. Actually, yeah, we do that at home.
Yeah.
Neil in Eastbourne's also been in touch. He had his say on one particular spread that it's so divisive, its name's become the definition of love it or hate it.
We will get to the serious point about a produce. Mm-hmm. That is called Marmite.
Oh, okay. So where do you stand on the love-hate?
Oh, I hate the stuff. Oh,
really?
I hate the stuff. Right. And my late uncle, when he was given it to him by my granny, his mother, mm-hmm. he hated it so much that he wouldn't eat anything of a brown colour, including chocolate, anything.
I mean, that's interesting in itself. It's also been a week of animals causing trouble. We had the escaped capybara on the run in the West Midlands. There were the two squirrels that caused mayhem on a train in Surrey. And then there was a mouse running riot on a plane somewhere over Scandinavia. Those little critters that can't stop making the headlines.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come?
The capybara that escaped from a zoo in Shropshire has been captured. Volunteers used a thermal drone and found Cinnamon in a field about 200 metres from her enclosure.
Unfortunately, while the gate was open for a short period of time, he hadn't noticed that Cinnamon was there and she snuck out around the side. So we've reviewed that now, made sure that can never happen again.
A GWR train service from Reading to Gatwick had to be cancelled as two squirrels decided to jump on board.
Alarmed passengers made their way along the train and the train manager locked the rodents in the rear carriage. Staff tried unsuccessfully to shoo the squirrels off the train at Red Hill, but one of them wanted to stay on.
Scandinavian Airlines has said one of its flights had to make an unscheduled landing on Wednesday after a passenger discovered a mouse in her in-flight meal.
When the lady next to me opened her box of delicious food, seemingly, and out jumped a small mouse.
Bad boys, bad boys, what you gonna do?
So just a couple of examples of animals behaving badly this week, but I want your stories, okay? Do you have a bad budgie, a wayward kitten, an unruly rabbit? Maybe you've come across a delinquent animal in the wild. What trouble did it cause you? How did you deal with it? When has an animal got in the way of something for you? 08085 909 693 is the number, or you can text me. The number is 85058. I think John in Doncaster's got quite the story for me, John, don't you? I mean, it's not just a budgie or a dog we're talking about here. This is something on a bigger scale.
No, mine was an altercation with a wild animal. I met this American couple. Yeah. In Malta, well, I used to teach scuba diving, and I met them in Malta, and they invited me across to Michigan, where they lived, for a couple of weeks' holiday.
Yeah.
So I went across there. As soon as I got across there, they said, "Oh, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to go camping." Mm-hmm. I thought, "Oh, God Almighty, who wants to go camping in America?"
Right.
So anyhow, we got in this big 4x4, and we went up North Michigan. And when we got there, they had a fantastic log cabin.
Yeah.
Big log cabin, air conditioned, television, the lot. You know, that's what the Americans do.
Brilliant. I mean, I can do that kind of camping, yeah.
So anyhow, and the first morning I'm there, I did a out at the back, there's a veranda with an hammock, you know, a rocking hammock.
Yeah, lovely.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm sat out there with a cup of coffee and a bacon sandwich, and I'm reading the local paper.
Yeah.
And I put the paper down, and straight in front of me, there's a whacking great big black bear.
Okay.
It's about 6 foot from me.
Oh, my goodness. What was your reaction?
It sat on its haunch. I was changing my trousers. But anyhow, it sat on its haunches, and it put its fore out.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I thought, well, I give it the sandwich. So I give it the sandwich, and it sat there eating the sandwich. And then Barbara, the woman who I was across there with, her and her husband, she came out and said, "Oh, it's Horace." I said, "What do you mean it's Horace?" She says, it's a bear. It seems to know every time we're here on holiday, it seems to come. It seems to know that we're here. And it comes regular. It might come two or three times a week and beg for food. And I says, "Oh, it's tame then." She says, "No, don't you ever go anywhere near it."
Did you see your life flash before your eyes, John?
No, not really, because it happened so quickly, no word of a lie, I could have, well, I did touch it because I gave it the sandwich.
Yeah.
But it just ate the sandwich, turned round and walked back into the woods.
That was all he wanted, he just wanted a snack.
Yeah. But, you don't know what to do. You can't run. I couldn't run.
Yeah.
So,
sort of
not only that, they don't advise you to run here.
Right. Yeah. I guess not. Because you could.
So that's them. That's my close to a sandwich.
I mean, it's a pretty good one. To be fair, it's a pretty good one. But I mean, did you make yourself a new sandwich? I need to know the outcome.
I don't know. I didn't. I don't think I bothered about that after that. It actually came. Well, we were there for 7 days.
Yeah.
This was on the Monday.
Yeah.
And it actually came again on the Friday.
Right.
It didn't come every day. It came again on the Friday. But this time, Barbara, she was ready for it, and she had a pile of food ready for it.
So you weren't giving up your sandwich that time.
No.
Love it.
But. Just show you, wild animals can be tame if they want to be, don't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely, they can. I think I would see my life flash before my eyes, though, if I got approached by a wild black bear, to be honest. So.
Yeah, it was a massive thing. Honestly, I bet it was 8 foot tall. Yeah. You know, it was massive.
They're beautiful animals. They really are beautiful. Yeah. They're really...
Barbara told me that she... a couple of years before, mm-hmm. it came round with, she called it Oris, mm-hmm. but it must have been a female because it came round with two cubs.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So sweet. That's a sight you didn't see.
It just seems to know when we're on holiday.
Yeah.
probably
smells and hears things, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing, go, here we go. We might get some food here, might get some snacks. Oh, John, thanks for sharing that with me. That's a lovely one.
Okay, take care of yourself.
All right, you take care, John. John in Doncaster there with his run-in with a wild animal. We're talking your naughty animals. You know, I'm sure you've got a story. I remember once my Gibson, my dog Gibson, who we lost just before Christmas. I've told you this before, but... There was one day I was sat in the office here in Five Live and I had a call on my phone and it was a woman. I had no idea who she was. She said, just let you know I've got your dog. He's safe. I was like, sorry, what? I'm in work. What has happened? And she's like, I've got your dog's here. Like, what do you mean my dog? It's like, why? And it turns out, oh, he's such a naughty little boy. The dog walker had gone to get him and he had just literally run out past her and away he went and found himself elsewhere. So I had to call the dog walker, who I think was mortified that she hadn't yet let me know that the dog had escaped, to say, I know where he is. Could you go and get him, please? So I'm sure you've been on the receiving end of that kind of behaviour with your pet, or maybe it's a bit more exotic, like John has just shared with her in Doncaster. I want your stories. Aurel's been in touch on the text. She says, I was having lunch in Pret near Oxford Circus recently. I was about to relax while my assistant went upstairs to collect our sandwiches when he said, there's a pigeon on the next table. We would have photographed a pigeon in prep. We were too busy trying to manage my mild to moderate phobia of them. I kept banging my white cane on the floor, trying to scare it away. And then once I yelled, when I thought something moved under the chair, it was in the branch for over an hour on a high ledge. But, you know, as compensation for this, Oriel did get a voucher, so it wasn't all bad. Naughty animal stories, share them with me, 0808 5909 693. And the foods that you just can't get your head around, the foods that you hate, maybe it was when you were a child and you sort of, you've told yourself that you can have it now, or whether it's something you still can't manage, what is it for you? Let's speak to Mike in Oldham. Hiya, Mike.
It's a very good idea. Warmest greetings to you.
And the same to yourself, Mike. How are you doing? Are you keeping well?
Oh, extremely well. It's a particular joy to talk to you because I find that it's an occasion when I can legitimately sneak downstairs and after the lovely conversation's ended, have something of a midnight feast.
Oh, does Margaret know you do this, Mike?
What a smashing memory. I'm afraid she does, but she... You know, her memory is now so bad that I can get away with virtually anything.
Oh, I'm sorry on one hand, Mike, but you enjoy your little midnight snack when you get the chance.
I'm looking forward to this. But oddly enough, what I do need to talk to you about is distinctly uncomfortable concerning food.
Goodness, okay.
That's to say, I went to school. Relatively, they had a very bad attitude towards food.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school relatively close to the end of the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And the two things I had an extreme dislike of were milk.
Oh.
Raw milk and rice pudding. Every day they served milk.
Mm.
At 20 to 11, morning break. Mm-hmm. And I had to go into hiding to avoid these servings, but I did get, you know, eventually I got rumbled, and I'm afraid the qualification for not taking things, Lisa, was that one actually had to be sick to prove that one disliked it.
Goodness.
They were so awful.
Oh.
And the meals that they served there were 8 years of that, I think. I'd had enough.
Oh, Mike, yeah.
College was a great relief. Now, rice pudding was served on a Monday lunchtime, and I dreaded those occasions.
Yeah, yeah.
Until I qualified as a non-eater.
Right. But how does that work? What's a non-eater?
Well, if you were sick, they put you down in the book that you didn't take rice pudding, and I remember some very unhappy Monday lunchtimes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They were appalling meals.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike, and rice pudding to this day, you still haven't managed to...
I wouldn't dream of... I have to, when I serve Margaret the milk,
yeah.
I have to, when she took me, once we went to the agricultural show in Harrogate,
mm-hmm.
and we were having a happy time of it, and she wandered us into a cow shed or something. There were cattle there. Do you know, Lise, I had to, I mean, I like some weird things that you're not... The fragrance of petrol and all the things that you're not supposed to enjoy.
Right, yeah.
I like, but the smell of these cattle and the memory of milk... I had to stuff my face into Margaret's shoulder.
Oh, Mike, not pleasant. It's the smell as well, isn't it, that just turns you...
Oh, it's horrid.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not a massive fan myself, I'm not going to lie, but not quite to that extent, thankfully.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed this cricket season, Lisa?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I went to see my first cricket game. It was towards the end of the season. It was the 100. I went to see the 100.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, which was interesting, different.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've sort of had a chance to have a look at that. It's a bit of a faster format, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I thought you were a bit more of a devotee in the cranky way that I am, but because Lancashire won today, didn't it? Well,
did they,
Friday.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Which
yes,
is wonderful. I believe it or not, I had to miss it because I had to go out for something.
Oh, no, Mike, no.
Incidentally, and I've been dying to say this on air, that chap Edward that you were mystified as to whether you'd spoken to him before.
Yes.
He's pulled the wool over your eyes because ordinarily his proper name is Peter. He trades under other names so that he can get on the programme more than once.
Is that right?
And he doesn't fool me at all.
Right, Mike. That's an interesting one I'm going to look into then.
Watch out for him.
Yeah. Listen, Mike, I need you. I need you as part of the team on this programme.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, my indeed. Goodness. Well, Mike, listen, where you go and get your midnight snack, OK? Enjoy it, all right?
Look forward to talking to you soon.
You too. Take care, Mike. See ya. We've got a real-life detective on the programme. There you go. Curious. I'll be thinking about that. Mike in Oldham there and his food dislike, what he really, really, really does not like. Let's see what time is it. Oh, it's 20 past two. Goodness, the time's ticking, isn't it? Let's speak to Harry in Plymouth. Hiya, Harry.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm not bad. I haven't spoken to you in ages. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. It's been such a long time. I think I've sat my A-level since then, and I'm about to head off to university in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. What a time. Oh, what an amazing time for you, Harry. Are you excited?
Well, I'm really excited. I'm also quite nervous. I'm linking it to one of your other topics. I am quite a fussy eater as well.
Really?
That's one of my concerns about university life. But I am really excited and really looking forward to getting started.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be such a good experience. I'm just going to hazard a guess here, Harry. Are you doing politics or...?
I'm doing politics, philosophy and economics. So a really good combination.
I thought you might be. Oh, that's absolutely amazing. You're going to have an absolute blast. You really are. And, you know, and if you're a fussy eater, you just choose your own food anyway. So it's fine. It's actually the ideal situation, Harry, to be honest.
Yes, exactly. So I'll have to find some foods which I like.
You will. So, I mean, you've obviously first time you've voted this year as well. I'm guessing you voted Labour, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and what do you make of the government so far then for the past couple of months since they've been in power?
Well, I think the government have inherited a really difficult situation. I mean, from an economic standpoint, we've heard about this £22 billion black hole in the public finances. Mm. We know that our economy hasn't been growing at the rate it should be. And they've also inherited public services on their knees. I mean, NHS waiting lists are approaching 8 million people. And my personal experience in the state sector with regards to education was that there was a teacher retention and recruitment crisis, and there was a huge lack of funding. So I think the government have inherited a really difficult situation. I think they've made some really positive progress so far. So, for example, I think they've appointed people to the cabinet with a range of experience. I think people like Jackie Smith, for example, she brings parliamentary experience, and having her served as Home Secretary in the past, that's really significant. And also Sir Patrick Vallance, I think he brings a level of expertise, having been Chief Scientific Advisor and now serving as a minister. And I also think there have been some really significant policy achievements. So, for example, resolving some of the industrial action we've seen, and also scrapping one-word Ofsted judgments.
Yeah. So what do you make then of the headlines that have kind of detracted from some of that success over the past week or two?
Well, I think this week has been quite a difficult one for the government. I mean, there's reports in some newspapers this morning that Starmer won't be accepting gifts relating to clothing going forward.
Yes,
so I think there is probably a desire in government to draw a line under this scandal, to redirect the focus back to policy. Mm. I think some of the hospitality he's been afforded, for example, at Arsenal, will probably continue. I mean, he's paid for his season ticket. He'd probably rather sit in his normal spot, but because of security reasons, he's having to sit somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, the most important thing is that the rules are followed. And each of the donations we have been talking about, Starmer has insisted they've been declared entirely transparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you think then, you know, really that the headlines are a bit unfair in some ways then?
Well, I don't think it's comparable to what we saw under the last government. I mean, when we think back to Partygate, Flatgate, all of these different scandals which we saw under three successive prime ministers, I don't think it's comparable to that.
Yeah.
But equally, it has been a difficult week for the government. I think they will want to move on now and try and redirect the focus back to policy, back to some of the tangible progress which they'll be trying to implement as Labour Party conference gets started this weekend.
Yeah. What do you make of some of the criticism people have said tonight? You know, some of the things that they have announced in the first few weeks in power. So, for example, the winter fuel allowance has got a lot of people talking, Harry. You know, about that wasn't in the manifesto. Nobody saw it coming. And then here we are discussing it. A lot of unhappy people as well.
Well, the winter fuel allowance is one of the conversations I've been having at home because my grandparents will no longer be entitled to the winter fuel allowance. I think the government are in a really tricky situation. I mean, the OBR wrote a letter saying that they hadn't even been aware of some of the overspend in some of the different departments. I mean, the £6.4 billion overspend relating to asylum, that genuinely didn't seem as if the OBR knew about it. So I think the government does have to make some really challenging decisions in order to get the books in balance.
Yeah.
I mean, the most vulnerable pensioners claiming pension credit, they're still entitled to this allowance. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. But my concern is really with those who are just above the threshold, those who are not claiming pension credit if they're entitled to it. I mean, the government have announced some more support. They've, for example, increased the take-up of pension credit. They've extended schemes like the Household Support Fund. But I do hope we hear more from the government over the next few weeks, whether it be more support or whether it be publicising the existing schemes in place to support those pensioners who are vulnerable.
Yeah. What do you think they could do? You know, because obviously all eyes are going to be in the conference, party conference over the next few days, Harry. What do you think they can do? What do you think should be the focus for Labour this weekend to make people sort of sit up and listen?
Well, I think the first focus needs to be to reaffirm a clear sense of direction.
Yeah.
I think for any new government, many of the policy decisions which they have to take are simply taken off of the back of the inheritance which they've which they faced. So for this government, it is related to the winter fuel allowance, for example, where they've inherited this huge shortfall in the public finances. They've inherited an economy which has faced stagnant levels of economic growth. So I think they do need to be clear in their direction of travel. But I also think Starmer needs to lean into a sense of optimism. I think he needs to outline what tangible progress he can make in office, but also talk about some of Labour's achievements already. I mean, from my standpoint, having gone to a state school for 7 years, I saw firsthand the consequences of rising class sizes, for example. So I think the government need to talk about their plans, for example, to scrap the tax breaks afforded to private schools. I think that's a fair decision to invest more money back into the state sector. So I think they need to lean into a sense of optimism and to talk about some of the progress, which I hope Starmer will be able to deliver on over the next few years.
Harry, it's always a joy to have you on the programme. It really is.
Thank you.
I hope you don't desert us when you're at university and you know.
No, I'll be listening in. I'll be listening in every weekend.
Good to hear, Harry. I'm sure I'll speak to you at some point again soon. But my goodness, good luck with it all, because it's such a fun time in your life and you're gonna excel. In fact, if you're not running the country someday, Harry, there's something wrong, to be honest with you. So that's my opinion.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. We'll speak again soon, Harry.
Speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Bye.
Harry. He's just always so eloquent, is Harry. I love having a conversation with Harry. What do you reckon? Does that all make sense to you? What is the one thing you want to hear from the Labour Party conference this weekend? What would the Prime Minister say that would make you think, yeah, do you know what? This is the right decision. This is something I'm happy with. 0808 509 693. Or you can text me on 85058. I'm also asking you about the foods that you can't stand as well. Whether you're a fussy eater or there's just that one thing that you can't get your head around and you never have been able to, and what your story is on it, 08085 909 693. You can WhatsApp me to that number as well. You can send me a voice note if you'd like to. Or you can always text if you can't get involved with the conversation, but you want to send a little message. 85058 is the number. Gary in Chelmsford's done this, and I've read this text message twice, Gary, because it just... I'm going to read it to you, right? Morning, Lisa. Regarding children being fussy eaters, does anybody else remember when a well-known frozen food supermarket decided to sell chocolate-covered carrots to entice kids to eat their veggies? Really? I mean, apparently so. Gary goes on to say, out of curiosity, I bought a packet. They were absolutely awful, and to be honest, they were withdrawn so quickly, I think they failed to take off. I'm also sure you could buy chocolate-covered peas for a while. I'd love to know if any parent had any success with them. I can think of nothing worse, Gary. And I love chocolate, but no thank you. No thank you at all. I would love to hear if you have tried the chocolate-covered carrots or the chocolate-coloured peas. I don't know what to say to that. 85058 in the text, 08085 909 693. If you want to pick up the phone, give us a call, have a little chat on the programme this morning. Maybe you've never called before. Maybe this is the morning where you think, I'm going to call. You've got nothing to lose, right? We're all friends in this programme. We're a non-judgmental zone. You tell me what it is you do not like the taste of. 08085 909 693. Or you could also get in touch if you have a naughty animal story as well. There's been a few this week that have hit the headlines. There were the rogue squirrels that stopped a train, had a train cancelled at Gatwick last Sunday. Then there was the escaped capybara during the week, Cinnamon, she was called. And the zoo spent a good few days trying to lure capybara Cinnamon back to her enclosure, and they've succeeded. She is back home now, but it was a good few days where she was out there in the wild. And also, of course, there was the mouse that escaped from a passenger's meal on a plane, which meant that the plane had to redivert back to Copenhagen. So, a few naughty animals in the news this week. What has your naughty animal done? Doesn't have to be this week; it could be any time. Got a cracking tale of a tortoise. We'll share it with you a bit later on. 08085 909 693, or you can text me 85058. It is 2:30 now.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
And here's your news headlines this morning. More than 100 women have now contacted lawyers accusing Mohammed Al-Fayed of sexual assault. The former Harrods owner has been described as a monster and a predator by lawyers representing some of them. Harrods insists the company is very different now and a process is available to women who say they were attacked by Mr. Al-Fayed. 12 people have been killed and dozens injured in an Israeli airstrike on the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Israel says 10 Hezbollah commanders died. They're said to include Ibrahim Akil, who was wanted by the US over two attacks in the 80s, which killed hundreds of Americans. The US Secret Service has published an interim review of the failures that led to the attempted assassination of Donald Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania in July. Poor planning and a communication breakdown were among the lapses identified. And the actor David Graham, who is best known for voicing the chauffeur Parker in the original series of Thunderbirds, has died aged 99. He was also the evil Dalek's voice in Doctor Who in the early 60s, and more recently played Grandpa Pig in Peppa Pig. Time for the sports headlines now. Here's Shabnam Yunusjewel.
Defending champions Chelsea kicked off the new Women's Super League season under new manager Sonia Bompastor with a 1-0 win against Aston Villa. Johanna Ritting-Kanereed scored the goal. Chelsea are aiming for a sixth WSL title in a row this year, but a first without former boss Emma Hayes. In the Championship, Hull City stunned Stoke 3-1 away to get their first win under manager Tim Walter. Motherwell reached the Scottish League Cup semi-finals for the first time in 6 years after a 2-1 win over Dundee United. Lennon Miller scored a stoppage time penalty for the win. Rugby Union's new Premiership season got underway with Bath avenging their final defeat to Northampton Saints by scoring 5 tries to win 38-16, while Bristol Bears beat Newcastle 24-3. Hull KR finished second in Super League after a 26-16 win over Leeds. Warrington and Lee also finished the campaign with wins. In boxing, Anthony Joshua weighed in heaviest ahead of Saturday night's world title challenge against Daniel Dubois. The two-time unified heavyweight champion tipped the scales at 18 stone, 4 pounds heavier than his opponent who holds the IBF belt. And you can hear the fight on 5 Live and BBC Sounds from 8:30. In golf, England's Matt Baldwin will take a 2-shot lead into the third round of the PGA Championship after equaling the tournament record over the first 2 rounds at Wentworth. He's on 13-under, with Rory McIlroy tied 4th on 9-under. And in Formula One, McLaren's Lando Norris was fastest in second practice at the Singapore Grand Prix, with title rival and championship leader Max Verstappen down in 15th.
I'm Kim Cattrall, and I want to tell you about my new podcast, a new audio drama telling the history of the CIA from the inside out.
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
He's got to convince Congress to give him an open checkbook now.
America has suffered its worst domestic attack of the 20th century at Pearl Harbor.
How do we make contact with the NKGB?
Central Intelligence, starring me, Kim Cattrall, Ed Harris, and Johnny Flynn.
There's $50,000 in it for you if you say yes.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker to play BBC Radio 5 Live.
Lisa McCormick.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
85058 is the number if you want to text us and get involved in the conversation that way this morning. Of course, you can also call as well. I'd love you to call, in fact. Otherwise, it's just me talking to myself for 4 hours. 0808 590 693. We've got plenty going on the programme. It's up to you. What do you want to talk about? You know, we kind of go down all sorts of rabbit holes in this programme. But we're talking about the foods that you really, really, really don't like. Maybe it was one when you were a child, or maybe you continue that into adulthood and you still can't eat it. So I'd love your stories on that. 0808 590 693. Also, with the Labour Party conference about to get underway a little bit later on, what's the one thing that you want the government to say this weekend at conference? What's the one thing you want to hear Sir Keir Starmer say? Of course, you know, they've just recently came to power. Very good victory for Labour for the first time in 14 years. They should be celebrating the success this weekend, but there's been some headlines, of course, that have taken the shine off that over the past week or so. They'll be keen to put those behind them, of course, and crack on and talk about policy over the next few days. But I want to know, what's the one thing, if you could give Keir a steer, what would you want him to say this weekend? 0808 509 693. And the other thing we're talking about is naughty animals. There have been plenty of examples of misbehaving animals this week. There's Cinnamon the capybara, who escaped her enclosure. There's the two squirrels who forced a train to be cancelled near Gatwick on Sunday. And there was the mouse who led to a plane having to make an emergency landing in Copenhagen a couple of days back. I want your stories of your animals behaving badly, and I've got a cracker about a tortoise. We'll get to that shortly. 0808 509 693 or text me 85058. Let's speak to Finlay in the Highlands. Hi, you Finlay, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks.
Good stuff, glad to hear it. Have we spoken before?
No, I'm a Five Live virgin.
Oh, amazing. Lovely to have you with us. We actually have a song for this. I always forget to play it, but I've just remembered, so bear with me.
It only just begun.
I know that song.
Yeah, it's a good tune. It is a good tune. I'm just worried that if we play it too much, people will get sick of it. But it is a good tune, so I'm willing to forgive that. Anyway, Finlay, welcome to the programme. We talk about all sorts in this programme, so you can literally go down any road here that you want to, really.
Sure. I want to talk about food,
right,
and a pretty basic food stuff that the first time I recognised I didn't like it was age 3.
Right.
And that's when I suppose I had a mind of my own.
Right.
Prior to age 3, I would say I didn't have a mind of my own. So my parents had my mind, if you like. So age 3, my father... Mm-hmm. Gave me scrambled egg on toast.
Right.
But what he covered the toast in was a substance called butter.
Really?
And I tasted this scrambled egg on toast, and I said to myself, you know what? I don't like that. And so I rejected it. I couldn't work out why I didn't like it, and they couldn't work out how I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then eventually it unscrambled. Well, sorry, I shouldn't say that. It unscrambled itself, and it came out the other end that it was butter.
Wow.
That I didn't like.
That's so. And do you still not eat butter?
I to this day do not eat butter.
Oh wow!
But there's a couple of little weird anomalies. So tell me this, right?
Yeah.
Why is it if I go into an Indian restaurant, mm-hmm, and I have a main course with a naan bread, yeah, and of course the naan bread comes out the kitchen,
yeah,
and it's covered in ghee.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is clarified butter.
Yeah.
Why do I like clarified butter?
Oh, that's strange. You don't mind that then?
Because it's got none of the impurities in it.
Oh, okay. So have you tried different butters?
No.
you just decided, not for me.
Absolutely no way. And, you know, I've gone into periodicals and I've said that I'm the CEO of Camos. Mm-hmm. So Camos is a bit like Camra, so the campaign for real ales.
All right, yeah.
But for me, Camos is the campaign for what I call open sandwiches. So you should be able to go into a supermarket and have a packet which has all the ingredients for a sandwich that you want to have, but you add the ingredients as you want them. In other words, if you want some butter, then you can add some butter.
I like that.
If you don't want butter, you can leave the butter.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. So it really, really annoys me that you can't go into a supermarket and they've pre-decided that you as a statistic, i.e. a member of the general public, whether you like it or not, you're getting butter. And whether you like it or not, it could be margarine, it could, you know, whatever it might happen to be, that's what you're getting.
That must make it pretty problematic for you, actually, because you're right, I've never seen a sandwich that doesn't have butter on it in a shop.
Yeah, I remember going into, I'll not mention the name of the supermarket, but their sandwich had headlined with simply ham. So I thought, oh, that's promising.
Yeah.
So that's probably two slices of bread with simply ham in the middle.
Yeah.
No.
It's not simply ham.
It's not simply ham. It's simply ham with butter smeared either side of the ham.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very misleading. In fact, you could probably do them for contravening the Trade Description Act or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Do you put anything else in your sandwiches? Because are they not a little bit dry?
Well, here's the thing, right? Because you get bread, and I actually like the taste of bread.
Right.
And let's go back to ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have some sort of substance that they would stick on their bread back in the day when they pulled it out of the oven? Well, maybe they did. I don't know.
They probably did, because you know they would have like manually made the butter, wouldn't they? You know, you see that.
Well, I've not thought deeply about it, but
yeah,
maybe they did. But I actually like the taste of just straightforward bread, and I think it's nice.
Yeah.
I'll stick jam on bread, I'll do something to maybe enhance it slightly, but as a foundational substance, if I can call it that, butter ain't it.
It's just not for you. Not for you, Philly. Oh, that's interesting.
It's just not. But here's another way around, right?
Yeah.
If I want to cook some mushrooms, and I stick some mushrooms in a pan, if I put some oil, or say vegetable oil, in the pan to cook mushrooms, it's on a scale of 1 to 10, they'll get a 5, right?
Right, yeah.
But see, if I put butter in the pan and I cook the mushrooms, they'll get an 8 or a 9. Now tell me why
I don't know, Phil. That makes no sense at all.
It pulls out, somehow the butter pulls the flavour of the mushrooms out. And
it does, I agree with that, yeah. Mushrooms and onions, cooking them in butter is so much better than oil. So much better.
I agree.
Yeah, you're right.
It's weird. The likes of mashed potatoes, see when they you know, you go down to somewhere like Devon.
Yeah.
And you go into a pub.
Yeah.
And you have a pub lunch, mm-hmm. and they just brutalise the potatoes with butter. It's just disgusting.
Oh, goodness, goodness. Finlay, you're welcome on this programme anytime, because I've had a great chat with you, so thank you.
Okay, no worries.
You take care. Finlay in the Highlands there, doesn't like butter, can't eat butter. That puts you at such a huge disadvantage if you're going to buy food out and about, if you're going to buy a sandwich for lunch, like a pre-packaged sandwich. Fine if you know you can make one yourself, or you know, you go to a sandwich shop or something, but butter, it's a fundamental part of a sandwich. You can't buy one without butter on it. What's it for you, the food that you just cannot stand? 08085 909 693 if you want to pick up the phone and give us a little call. You can text me if you want. That's what Dean in Birmingham's done. He says, couldn't stand tomatoes, but I love them. There you go. I love tomatoes. Tomatoes probably my favourite. Well, tomatoes a vegetable, actually, isn't it? No, it's a fruit. Tomatoes a fruit. That's it. It's not my favourite fruit, but yeah. Okay, I'm going down a rabbit hole here. Pull me out of it. Pull me out of it. Who have we got? Oh, Peter. Peter, the floor is yours. How are you, Peter?
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm not too bad, actually. I'm not too bad, Peter. How are you doing? Are you well?
Yeah, not too well. Not exactly, but don't worry about it.
Oh, you keep on keeping on, yeah? You're surviving.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing to do, yeah.
Sometimes it's the most
you go for. You wanted to know about food that we did not like, that we rejected. Yeah. And generally, I like to eat everything. I like school meals. They were generally good.
Yeah.
But when I was about 10 years old, we were served French veal. I knew it was French veal because I used to write up the name of whatever we were having on a blackboard in the schoolroom where we ate. Anyway, it looked horrible. It looked grey, but it was grey. It was a grey colour, little lumps of meat and grey liquid, and it tasted horrible. It tasted really sort of slimy. It was so unpleasant. I just couldn't eat it. I refused to eat it, in fact. The teacher told me to eat it, but I kept refusing, and then I was told to stand at the back of the room until everyone had gone, and eventually they sort of caved in and said the cook would make me some sandwiches. But I've never eaten veal since.
Yeah.
What I didn't know then, and you probably do know, is in more recent years it was revealed that veal is comes from calves, young calves.
Right, yes.
And they're actually housed in very cruel, restrictive conditions.
Yeah.
And so that's another reason not to eat it. But But otherwise, food I've enjoyed, but I'll never forget that. You know, I'm quite proud that I refused to eat it. You know.
Do you know what? I mean, aside from the questionable practices there, Peter, it sounds vile, if I'm honest.
Sorry?
It sounds vile anyway, you know, the way you've described it to me, it sounds awful.
It really was. I don't know anybody else, everybody else ate it. That was an amazing thing, but no one complained. But what they thought of it, I don't know. But just me protest. That was my first protest event. Yeah, I've done a lot of protesting since then, believe me. But
oh, really, really? not about food, though, or food-related?
No, not about food, no.
Good stuff.
About safety and the environment and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still active in that kind of thing, Peter?
Not so active. Occasionally, I'm still a member of Friends of the Earth and Greenpeace, but I'm not very active personally. But I support them financially out of my subscription. You know, I take an interest and I do phone them from time to time and discuss things with them.
Work.
I have been very active in the large residents association here in Colston and not so much now, but I'm still on the committee and I do things from time to time.
Well, you're keeping yourself busy, Peter, anyway, I'll give you that.
Self-preservation, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, Peter, it's lovely to talk to you, as always. So thanks for giving us a call.
Thank you.
All right, you take care, all right?
Thank you, yep. You too, yeah. Bye-bye.
See you, Peter. Lovely to speak to Peter, as always. Peter in South London there. Give me a call, 08085 909 693. Text me if you can't talk for whichever reason. 85058 is the number. Oh, my goodness, there's lots of texts. Right, okay, I'm going to get to them. But in the meantime, we've got Sue in Dorset. Hi, you, Sue.
Yeah, hi, yeah.
Are you well?
Yeah, well, yeah, plodding on. Well, case of having to, isn't it?
Well, exactly. What else can you do, Sue?
No. Hey, what do they say? Mustn't grumble.
Mustn't grumble. No. Can't complain. I mean, complain if you want. I'm here for it, if I'm honest
with
you.
Well, no, Lisa, do you know what? Because I love music, right?
Yeah.
I was listening to a song the other day, and it said, I've got food in me belly and a licence for me telly.
That's what you need.
Well, exactly, I'll tell you. And I tell you, Lisa, this is the first time I've come across your show.
Oh, Sue, I've got a song for that.
Would you play it?
Yeah.
Oh, the Carpenters.
I know. Find me a better voice than Karen Carpenter.
Oh, I tell you, how sad one is, you know, when she passed.
I know. Just think of the greatness she would have gone on to. But anyway, that's another story.
Do you know, thank you for that, Lisa.
I won't
get fed up of hearing it, so carry on playing it.
Right, I will.
But anyway, listen, about food.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been able to get my head around this.
Right.
I ate one once and I thought, never again. And that was a beef burger.
Right, okay. Right.
Right, and I thought, oh, no, I don't like them. And also, steak.
Yeah.
You know, when people go, and they go, oh, yeah, I went out the other night, oh, I had a gorgeous steak, you know. And I just think, you know. But what I can't understand is I love beef stew and dumplings.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I'll eat that,
why don't
I like a book, you know, and I see these adverts on the telly, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'll say McDonald's, you know.
Right, okay.
You know, triple burger and drizzle, you know, and all that. And I look at the advert and I think, ugh. You know, but, I mean, I've got three children, you know, I mean, they're grown up now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we used to go to fairs and things like that, and they had the burger van there.
Mm.
And the smell, I used to think, oh, it smells so lovely.
Yeah.
You know?
And it did,
the smell of beef burger and onions, you know.
Yeah.
But I just can't eat them. But you put, someone cooked me beef stew and dumplings
and
I'll eat the beef.
I think I sort of get that in a way. So, like, and from my point of view, so I'm a bit fussy with meat, I'm not going to lie. So, like, if you show me, you know, give me like a big, like steak burger, not for me, no. But, like, but I can have like a little kind of like burlier burger. I know that sounds really weird. Or, like, the steak thing, like, I can't have, and I know people are going to be cursing at the radio here. I know they are. But I like my steak fully cooked through. You see if there's any pink in it. I can't have it. Not for me.
Do you know, I watch these, I mean, let's face it, Lisa, the telly is absolutely full of cookery programmes.
You know,
I mean, I get so fed up with it. But, I mean, getting back to what you just said, if I'm going to have meat, it's got to be burnt to death.
Yes, I'm the very same, so.
You know, I watch some of these cookery programmes and they go, oh, how would you, you know, I mean, come dine with me or whatever, you know. And it's like, oh, how would you like your steak? And they go, oh, blue. You know, and I'm like,
no, not for me. No way.
Yeah. And I think, oh, no.
I know. I can think of nothing worse. But then when I say this, people are like, they're absolutely astounded that I want my steak cooked through. And I'm like, of course I want it cooked through. It's a piece of meat.
Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, and then some of them have it so rare, or blue, and they're like, oh, flipping it, a good vet could bring that back to life. You know what I mean? Because it's
you're like, yeah, exactly, probably
dead,
could, yeah.
I tell you, no, but that is my food thing. But Lisa, can I ask you?
You can.
I mean, I'm digressing now because, listen, I'm 60. Well, I'm the same age as Jeremy Vine.
Right, okay, right.
And I absolutely love his programme.
Yeah.
But listen, Lisa, from now on, I am going to be listening to you. I think you're fab, and I've only come across you tonight, you know. But I've got to say this. You asked a question about Keir Starmer. And
yes, yeah.
But I thought, you know, because you know Jeremy loves his cycling.
Yes,
you
he
know,
does, absolutely all, he does.
Yes.
He listens to this programme sometimes, just for clarity, but anyway.
Yeah. I thought, anyway, on about Keir Starmer, I know when the when they were voting who was going to come in and that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever watched it, but honestly, you've got to watch this film, Lisa.
Yeah.
You might have already have. It's called Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, I love Napoleon Dynamite.
I mean, come on, Lisa. Did we need to vote for Pedro or what?
But I actually had a T-shirt that said "Vote Pedro." I did say, honestly, yeah, yeah.
Listen, it's funny you should say that, Lisa, because yeah. when it was all kicking off, all you know, Rishi Sunak, you know, and all that, oh, we're going to vote
yeah.
for him. I said to my son, because I mean, I embarrass my kids, Lisa, I do,
I'm sure
and
you
I
do.
Said, please, my son, you know. Can you get me a couple of T-shirts printed with "Vote for Pedro"?
Brilliant.
And he went, "Mum, you're so embarrassing."
Oh, so if you were my mum, I'd be like, "I'm on it. I'm on the internet now, looking
yes.
for you." Yeah.
I tell you, we need to get it out there, Lisa. But the reason I brought Jeremy Vine into it, because you know, I mean, you've watched that film, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Love it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Can you remember the bit? Where, what is it? I don't know if it's his brother or his uncle. And
yeah.
he said, "Oh, can you give me a lift into town?"
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and Napoleon is on his push bike and
yep.
he's dragging his brother or son behind him. He's
I didn't know whether I'm laughing
like
at the
hell,
film
you know,
it's a great film. It's a great film.
It's fab. But, you know, Lisa, I'm so glad I found you. Listen, I'm not a stalker. I'm not going to plague you, but thank you very much for the conversation tonight.
Oh,
because
thank you.
Because you have seen me through a couple of hours that, you know, I would just be flicking through TV channels and
yeah.
there's nothing on.
I know,
you know,
I know.
And then I thought, oh, what's on the radio? And I thought, oh, I listened to that. So thank you very much, Lisa. It's been very nice talking to you.
So thank you. I'm so glad you called. I really am. And call again, because I have genuinely really enjoyed our conversation. All right.
Lisa,
yeah.
I tell you, listen, when all's said and done,
yeah.
right, vote Pedro.
Vote Pedro. Vote Pedro, sir. Vote Pedro. Cheers for the call, so you take care.
If you can,
yeah.
because my kids are not up for it because they find me so embarrassing.
You're not embarrassing.
I mean, you know, I don't know. But please, if you can, try and talk my kids. I want a T-shirt saying yeah. vote for
you
Pedro.
You need it. You need it.
Because it says on, I think it said on the film, Pedro can make your dreams come true. You
yeah.
want and I'll tell you what. What was that song? Jamiroquai, wasn't it?
Yes, the dance sequence at the end, yeah. Amazing.
Dance, wasn't it?
It's an iconic, iconic scene. Oh, I'm going to have to go and watch it again now, so it's such a good film.
Lisa, please. I mean, I don't know if... Because this is the first time that I'm speaking to you
yeah.
and I've come across your show.
Yeah.
But if you do play any music on your, you know, your show, please...
We should do that, Matt. Sorry, Matt's producing the programme. I'm looking at him as if you can all see him and hear him. We should do that, Matt. We should do that.
Lisa, thank you very much, my sweet. And, you know, have a good evening.
Oh,
well,
you
morning,
too. So, yeah, whatever time it is. I know, I don't even know anymore. Listen, Sue, so lovely to talk to you. Don't you listen to your kids. You are not embarrassing, OK? You take that forward, OK? Lovely to have you on the programme.
Oh, thank you. Lisa, you've made my evening, morning, whatever.
Oh, I'm not going to get out of the studio. My head's going to be so big. So thank you. It's lovely, lovely to hear from you, Sue and Dorset there, with her story about food she hates and everything in between, because that's the beauty of this programme. We just talk about anything. What is it you want to talk about? 85058. Talking of which, Scott's text, he says, morning, Lisa. What a great show. Thanks, Scott. I do love the mix of different topics of conversation, from every little fact in Thunderbirds to being forced to eat smash. See, this is the thing. This is the way the show goes. The food I hate is bananas. I think as a kid I ate them, but now I can't stand them. Also don't like ice cream. It's the brain freeze I hate. Scott, I'm with you on that one. You know, ice cream is such a popular snack and people love ice cream, and I just don't get it. I will eat it sometimes, but I would never say, oh, I'd love an ice cream, ever. And Tommy, what is this about? After Finley telling us that he can't stand butter, won't eat it. Tommy says, my nephew used to eat butter as if it were ice cream. Oh, there's definitely a fine line somewhere in there. 85058 is the text number. And if you want to call us, Ollie and Harry are man on the phones tonight. 08085 909 693.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
We're the BBC News at 3 o'clock. This is Jason Kay. A former manager of Fulham women's football team, Gota Haugenes, has said that precautions were put in place to protect female players from Mohamed Al-Fayed when he owned the club. Mr. Al-Fayed, who died last year, has been accused of sexual assault by dozens of women who worked for Harrods, which he sold in 2010. The department store says it's utterly appalled by the allegations. Here's our sports correspondent, Laura Scott.
For Gota Haugenes, who managed Fulham's women's team from 2001 to 2003, the allegations about Mohamed Al-Fayed have not come as a surprise. He said that members of staff at the club became aware that the late billionaire liked young blonde girls, and during his time there had been extra precautions in place so that female players were never left alone with the billionaire. Fulham issued a statement saying they were deeply troubled and concerned by the disturbing testimony from several women alleging that they were sexually abused at Harrods by Mohamed Al-Fayed, and were trying to establish whether anyone at the club had been affected.
A senior United Nations official has warned that the Middle East is at risk of a conflict that could dwarf the devastation witnessed in the region so far. The UN Political Affairs Chief Rosemary DiCarlo was addressing a meeting of the Security Council about the deadly synchronised walkie-talkie and pager explosions in Lebanon. The US state of South Carolina has carried out its first execution in 13 years. Freddie Owens was killed by lethal injection just days after the key witness for the prosecution claimed that Owens was innocent of shooting dead a shop worker in 1997. Robert Dunham from the Death Penalty Policy Project, which provides legal representation for people on death row, says this case is significant for a number of reasons.
It raises issues of innocence, of prosecutorial misconduct, and how you go about carrying out executions. Freddie Owens, who has changed his name to Khalil Allah, is also a young African-American man, and it brings up the entire history of South Carolina's use of force, whether it's lynchings or capital punishment, against young black men.
Sir Keir Starmer travels to Liverpool today to attend Labour's first conference in government for 15 years. Some of the union movement are pushing for